The terms veganomicon and vegangelical share the root word vegan. Vegans are people who don't eat meat, dairy, or eggs. But if your idea of a vegan meal is tofu, sprouts, and soy milk, you haven't been introduced to Issa Chandra Moskowitz and Terry Hope Romero. Their idea of tasty vegan food includes asparagus and lemongrass risotto, eggplant, potato, tiramisu, cupcakes, and
the moussaka cream, which is pine nuts and tofu.
And silken tofu and maybe a couple other things. And when you bake it and it comes out, it looks like this gorgeous bechamel, like,
yeah,
cream.
Brown so nicely.
People look at it and they thought it was fake cheese. And I'm like, no, we don't do that.
Moskowitz and Romero have written several best-selling vegan cookbooks. Their latest is called Veganomicon, the Ultimate Vegan Cookbook. The two met in the mid-1990s outside a dive bar on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. They were both in the punk scene, where Romero says food was a major part of the culture.
Like, at any time, you could have a band on your living room floor from Ohio someplace, and, you know, let's make something to eat, you know.
And making best friends in one day, like, that's
right.
What happened. Like, you met somebody over the weekend. They were your best friend by Monday.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And you were hanging out all the time.
What were some of the bands that ended up spending time on your living room floor?
Oh, where to begin?
Yeah. And
probably no one anybody's ever heard of. Like, the most famous one I can think of was Oi Polloi, which are a Scottish punk rock band that are vegan, and they're still around. And we drove them around our van to Canada.
But it also sounds like this is food with attitude.
Yes, inadvertently. We really actually try to be accessible and not have quote-unquote attitude.
Right.
So our website actually says vegan food without attitude, because it's not so much about judging you and, you know, it's more about experimenting and eating.
Yeah, I think that's part, like, of the what we call post-punk. Like, we take those, I guess, the more accessible parts of it, like, if you want to call, like, get up and do it yourself as opposed to waiting
Definitely.
For someone else to make it for you kind of aspect.
Why does the word vegan scare people?
Does it scare you?
No, not really.
I think because it's an ethical choice, and it sounds like a moral judgment to people. And it also sounds like deprivation to people.
Terry, would you agree?
Yeah, it's also a funny word. You know, it sounds like a religion or a planet or just something that doesn't sound like a normal part of life.
Why, I mean, from experience, why does so much vegan food taste so awful?
Let's see. I think it might be because people don't necessarily get a culinary degree and then decide to go vegan. So they've made this choice and then, you know, have to learn how to cook.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of times people kind of feel that, okay, I've made this decision for one reason or another, and I have to use these ingredients, and they're sort of almost setting themselves up for, like, for less, for, like, I'm going to now accept less in my food and what it can be.
You mean by, you know, just sticking with tofu and tempeh and those muffins that taste like, you know, prison loaf?
Yeah. Right, yeah, by not actually learning how to cook.
Right, and thinking,
because
okay.
Because I love tofu.
Yeah, I do too, and it really has a lot of special characteristics and qualities that come out right when you learn how to actually prepare it correctly.
Issa, you actually recommend, if I'm not mistaken, that if someone wants to begin cooking vegan, don't worry about these ingredients like tempeh, for example, but learn how to cook vegetables.
Right, exactly. That was kind of the basis for Veganomicon.
Absolutely.
And so what do you teach people about cooking vegetables?
Well, just the basic methods, like just how to coax the most flavor out of them, and that vegetables do actually have flavor. A lot of us grew up with canned or frozen vegetables that seriously lack flavor. But to eat fresh and seasonally.
Go to your farmer's market.
Exactly.
I imagine you also encourage people to be adventurous. I mean, try those vegetables perhaps you hadn't heard of before.
Yeah, exactly. Especially now with the farmer's markets, we have such a variety of plant-based food to choose from.
Right. Get a purple cauliflower.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Or those cauliflowers that look
the
like...
The Romanescos.
Yes, they look like Madonna's bra.
The fractal. Yeah.
Yeah.
The joining of math and vegetables.
Yes.
So perfect.
When you are concocting recipes, do you veganize existing recipes?
Occasionally, like we have seitan piccata or the moussaka, things we're not trying to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great food out there that can easily be translated to, you know, vegan standards just by removing the meat. And it can become something new and exciting even from there. And it's also good to make foods that people like and are familiar with, you know, as like sort of a springboard.
What do you use in these, particularly the baking recipes, what do you use in them to replace butter and eggs?
Believe it or not, it's not that difficult. We use a lot of, we use soy milk as sort of the basis for not only the milk, but it also replaces a lot of the liquids. We mostly rely on vegetable oils like canola and safflower. And a lot of leavening just happens with baking powder and baking soda, like normal stuff, normal supermarket items. Yeah.
What's the thing you do? You add vinegar? Is it to soy milk or something?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Tell us what that does.
Yeah. Well, that's sort of like an old-fashioned...
Depression era.
It really is. It's kind of amazing. They made all these great cakes in that era when I guess there was a big, big scarcity in eggs. And you create a chemical reaction at first with the acidity of the vinegar curdles the proteins in the soy milk. And then later on, when we combine that with dry ingredients, including baking powder and baking soda, you get this explosion where you'll get a lot of carbon dioxide generated, and that creates leavening.
So what does the title of your book, Veganomicon, mean?
Well, if we were to break it down into the Latin, it means the big book of vegan law, but we don't take ourselves that seriously.
Oh, no. It's kind of a joke. Like, we both like kind of nerdy things, like nerdy movies and nerdy culture, and a lot of our friends, you know, like we like to joke about this stuff.
Yeah. Do you still cook for punk bands?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
There's a group called the Shondes, which are a Yiddish punk rock girl band, and, you know, I made latkes for one of their shows.
Like Terry and Issa, the Shondas are from Brooklyn. Their new album, The Red Sea, will be released Tuesday. Terry and Issa have a public access cooking show, Post Punk Kitchen, which is now on hiatus. If you were able to catch a few installments when it was broadcast in New York or online, then you remember one of Issa's favorite party tricks. How did you learn to play the guitar with oven mitts?
Well, actually, it's just a matter of editing. So I can play the guitar and then, you know, I just, you know, use the oven mitt and then we edit some good chords over it.
Ah. Many years of school.
And now we've ruined the illusion.
we'll keep it a secret.
Okay.
Just, you know, you, me, and 3 million other people.
All right.
Issa Chandra Moskowitz and Terry Hope Romero are the authors of Veganomicon, the ultimate vegan cookbook. Thanks, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can find some of Terry and Issa's vegan recipes on the Post Punk Kitchen's website. That's theppk.com.